Find thousands of items to choose from, including over 1,200 Bibles, communion supplies, resources for pastors, books, educational supplies, clothing, games, and crafts for your children. Here you will find gifts, home decor, movies, and music. Every purchase you make through our bookstore helps to support our ministry. Visit the bookstore at WCNO.com today.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. You know, we were looking at receiving the Holy Spirit. The second infilling of the Holy Spirit, there's a two-part to this. And I'm going to teach this as we go along. But we started looking at the one time where the Pharisees and Sadducees said to Jesus, the miracles that you're performing and casting demons out with, you're doing it by the Beelzebub, the spirit of the devil. He was saying the work that the Holy Spirit was doing, casting demons out of people, was the devil working with God to cast demons out. And Jesus warned them and said, listen, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because when you continually blaspheme this Holy Spirit, you will commit the unpardonable sin. So we just wanted to touch on that a little bit before we get back into looking at the fact that you can receive the Holy Spirit in different measures at different times. So let's pick up the service right now.
Look at this, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Watch this. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Yeah. Now watch this. The world we're talking about. We're not talking about the people that are saved. We're talking about the world. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Yeah. What are you talking about, Jesus? Of sin, because they do not believe in me. They do not believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is out there trying to convict a lost and dying world to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's His function with the lost and dying. Amen. Did you see that? He even tells us of sin because they do not believe in me. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get into heaven. And these guys would refuse to believe in Jesus. They were refusing to believe in Him. They were ascribing His miracles to the devil, the Holy Spirit. And God, when He said to them, you better watch out, you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen is you'll start to believe your lies and you'll cut yourself off. And they crucified the Savior. Now watch it. So He says, of sin because you do not believe in me. They do not believe in me. He's trying to get them to believe in Him. You can't clean a fish until you catch it. You catch a fish, really mean, then you clean it with the Word of God. Amen. And if you're not being cleaned and you're still the same old, you might want to revisit. Now watch it. He says, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father, Peter, John, James. I'm going to my Father and you're not going to see me anymore. And the Holy Spirit's going to remind you that you're the righteousness of Christ. Not the world. They're not the righteousness of Christ. He's going to remind the saved people, you are the righteousness of Christ. And He's going to go to the unsaved people and say to them, you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if that person keeps refusing, keeps saying, no, I disagree, that's a lie from the pit of hell, there's no way Jesus could save me, and they just keep on and on, they're starting to saw off that branch that they could be standing on. Their salvation, they're going to lose their salvation that's available to them. Amen. Listen, if I do not, okay, of judgment, because the ruler of this world, the devil, is already judged. If we do not embrace Christ's righteousness, we will share Satan's judgment. Did you hear that? If we do not embrace Christ's righteousness, we will share Satan's judgment. And herein is what I believe Jesus was talking about. Listen to what this man says here, D.A. Carson, great man of God, says, such people are thoughtfully, willfully, and self-consciously rejecting the work of the Spirit. Thoughtfully and willfully and self-consciously rejecting the work of the Spirit. Their blasphemy is to deny the Spirit's testimony and to knowingly attribute it to some other, usually evil, source. You hear that? When people reject Jesus Christ and His gift of eternal life, they're in a sense committing the unpardonable sin of unbelief. There's no atheist that doesn't, that, you know, if he keeps believing that there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, he will get that conscience so seared that there will be no pardoning. Because he won't be able to believe. That's the unpardonable sin, when you can't believe that Jesus is the Savior. When you cannot believe Jesus is the Savior, you cannot get saved. That's unpardonable. You have to believe in the Son of God to receive salvation. And if you refuse to believe and you say that he's just another one of those guys trying to fool the public and trying to get his way and trying to do this and trying to get your money and this and that, and you keep pushing back and pushing back, you're in danger. There are people out there, some maybe you have family members, and they're talking this nonsense. You need to pray and unblock their ears and unblock their eyes from the devil blocking their minds. Can you say amen? Amen. And listen, the good news, the really good news is anybody who desires to be saved by God's grace has not committed the unpardonable sin. If you sin and you say, oh God, forgive me, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. Because the unpardonable sin is not being able to see forgiveness necessary. Amen. The unpardonable sin makes forgiveness unnecessary. So you can't receive Jesus as what he's done for your sin. And what that does is leave you lost. Amen. Can you see that? Dr. R.C. Sproul, another man of God, he says this, worrying about whether one has committed the unforgivable sin is one of the clearest evidences that the troubled person has not committed the sin. I wish I learned that when I was like 19. Because for about 5 years there, it was touch and go for me. Because I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin. You understand? So if the person is worrying about if he's committed the sin, because if you were in that position of not believing in forgiveness, you wouldn't even worry. You wouldn't see a need. It just wouldn't be necessary. So if you're the one thinking, whoa, I need to repent, or God, have I committed? No, you haven't. Because you wouldn't see God as God. So ultimately, the unpardonable sin is not seeing God as God. Because if you see God as God, you'd believe what God said. And that's why it says in Psalm 53 and Psalm 14, verse 1, in both cases, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He says in Isaiah 45, 22, turn to me, all ye in the world, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is no other. He says in Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that live in the earth, they're God's. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So when the fool says, no, that's the devil doing that work. No, you're not God. No, I don't need forgiveness. You're in some serious trouble. Can you say amen? And so he says, yeah, those people worrying about this have not committed this sin. For those who commit it are so hardened in their hearts that they do not care that they've committed it. They will commit the sin and think nothing of it. I don't care. How many of you were like that before you were saved? Four hands. Wow. We're casting out lying demons today. How many of you used to sin and think, whoa, can't wait till tomorrow? Right? Oh, no, Pastor, I was born different. Yeah, I saw you on the table half naked doing karaoke. Singing Highway to Hell. Oh, my God. Listen, it's funny, but it's not. For those who commit it are so hardened in their hearts, the unpardonable sin, so hardened in their hearts that they do not care that they've committed it. They don't see any wrong. The unpardonable sin. You better receive Jesus, because if you start to see anything else, and thank God we're in this place. How many of you gave some repentance this morning before communion? Blasphemers of the Holy Spirit are so hardened against God that they do not care about sin. So if we are repentant, we can be sure that we have not blasphemed the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So no, you're in church, you wouldn't be in church. I'm telling you now, if you have committed the unpardonable sin, you would not be in a church service. Unless you're coming to mock or to prove your point. Amen. I know some people who come to church and they've got their Bible out to prove me wrong. I see that and I pray them out of the church. Or to get saved. You see, if you just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, and because you want to make sure you're not being fooled, that's fine. But when I see and they write the notes, yeah, for the wrong reason. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow which lacks repentance results in spiritual death. That's the unpardonable sin, where you can't believe in forgiveness, where you can't believe God is God, where you don't believe you need God, where you believe you are God. Amen. So you have not committed the unpardonable sin. Nobody in this place has committed the unpardonable sin. Amen. So let that rest, let that go, and let's move forward with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so I've got 10 minutes. And so we want to talk about the receiving and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And their first experience in the Christian's life is salvation. You got to get saved. Everyone say saved.
Saved.
It means eternal life as opposed to eternal death. Amen. So the first experience for the Christian is salvation, which gives us eternal life. The second experience, like they had in the upper room, is the welcoming of the Holy Spirit. Because when I got saved, I just said, yes, Lord, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I never said, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You understand? And there are three entities, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen? How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. There were three. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, Jesus of Nazareth, he came up out of the water, and John saw, as it were, the Holy Spirit as a dove alight upon him, and a voice from heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the one who's in the earth today. Why? Because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father of God. God is on the throne, and Jesus is at his side. The Holy Spirit is here in the earth. Can you say amen to that?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant, your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads